The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel as written to us by John. This, I believe, is one of the more beautiful Gospels of the New Testament. And really, it doesn't need a sermon. All I'm going to do is make a few comments on it. But try to listen to it in itself, so it doesn't need a sermon. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Have faith in God. Have faith also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If there were not, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And if I do go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again and take you with me, so that where I am, you also may be. Where I am going, you know the way." And Thomas said, "Master, but we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, then you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him." And then Philip said, "Master, just show us the Father, and that will be enough." And Jesus said to him, "Philip, have I been with you so long, and you still do not know? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own. The Father who dwells in me is doing this work. Believe me, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Or else, just believe because of the works I do. I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do, and will do even greater. Now I am returning to the Father." This is good news from the Lord. I'm told that in the entire Bible, I've never counted it, but more clever people than I and more hardworking people have said that it actually adds up to 365 times, one for every day of the year, that the Bible says, "Do not be afraid." That would make it the most common one-liner in the entire Bible. And this passage begins with the most beautiful statement of that: "Do not let your hearts be troubled." And then that wonderful line that gives us so much hope, because we know we're all so different: "In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places." I just finished reading Teresa of Avila's Interior Castle, and she takes the whole book to describe seven dwelling places. And she says, as does John of the Cross, that there is as many ways to God, as many dwelling places, as there are people. And God honors the unique journey and the unique personality and the unique experience of each one of you. What else could God do? God has to build on the raw material of your life. And it is God who has created you as you are, in a unique dwelling place that is unlike any other. If we would just meditate on that, I think it would be enough to allow us to fall in love with God. That God loves each soul personally, intimately, uniquely. He doesn't just love all people. God loves you, and you, and you, in your you-ness. And that's why we have every reason not to be afraid and not to be troubled. The entire schema of what we call salvation is so beautifully spoken twice, actually, in this passage. Most of us were raised to think we go to heaven, but this is stated much more subtly and much more beautifully, I think. Jesus says, I came forth from the Father, the womb of God, the Holy Trinity, to take you back with me. We do not know how to go there. We don't even know what heaven is or in what direction to head. But what we can trust is that he is taking us with him, so that where he is, we also may be. This is God's great work, saving what he has created. And of course, for all of us, this is hard to believe. Why would God love me? You know, if we just follow our name, the strict rules of who goes to heaven, I don't think anybody goes. No one I've met thus far fulfills all the rules. No one. And I've met some pretty great people. And every one of them, just like myself and just like you, has significant blind spots, significant areas where they have not yet learned how to love. But if you look long enough and patiently enough, you'll always find, even in people you resent, in people you're not naturally drawn to, you'll find, you know, in this unique area, she or he, in fact, they love very well. We're all just one little mansion in the heavenly kingdom. We all love in one or two ways very well. And in other areas, it seems, we're totally blind. If God can't love and accept that kind of human being, God can't love or accept anybody. Because that's all of us. That's everybody. What it means to love is precisely to love that which is at least partly unlovable. You married people know that better than I. You're faithful to your partner, I hope, I assume, and yet you know his faults or her faults, and by the grace of God, you've been granted the ability to love her anyway. Isn't that marvelous? That's the work of mercy. That's the work of God. That is the way. That is the truth. That is the life. That is Christ. He teaches us all the way of love. And when we can harbor in our hearts love ourselves and not allow our minds to be filled with negative, judgmental, resentful, hateful, fearful, unforgiving thoughts, love attracts love. It's that simple. When you are love, you will see love in other people. I'm afraid when you are hatred, you will see hatred in other people. And so the work is primarily on ourselves, so that we learn how to mirror back the love that is already there. This is the way, the Christ way, the way that leads all people back to where we all started. We were born in God, we came forth from God, and we will return to God. It really is that simple. And those of you who learned the way of love earlier, you will return probably more easily. Some of us keep kicking and screaming and fighting and resisting the way of love. And we put off our return, I think sometimes till the last hours of our life. But don't wait till the last hours of your life. Choose love now, and you will know the Christ. You will be on the path of certain return.